Welcome to Christmas, dear people of God. Welcome to St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Coeur d'Alene. This is Father David with Episcopal Ramblings from North Idaho in Coeur d'Alene at St. Luke's Episcopal Church. Welcome and Merry Christmas to you all, each and every one of you. Oh, friends, what a year this has been. What a year. Oh, the challenges that have come with this pandemic, we've never imagined how long and how hard this would be for everyone. What began back in February and March kept going. We hoped to celebrate a late Easter around the time of Pentecost in early June. But then we saw the rapid upturn in cases as people took the feelings of freedom of outdoors and the carefree summer gatherings to heart, and well, we saw a blooming of cases. We then hoped things would settle down after the tourist season was over. But then cases went up even more, as they did across the country with the beginning of school in September. And we hoped things would settle down a bit. But cases have just continued to climb all this fall and early winter, here and across the country. It feels like a dark time we're in. And so Christmas feels so very different. This Christmas feels strange, but it's still Christmas. And it is still when we remember and celebrate our Savior's birth. Let us not forget this. This is the light dawning, but it is still a dark time we are in. The coronavirus has challenged us like nothing we have ever faced in our lifetime. And the ugly ways that racism and racial tension, deep economic inequities, and political divisions are fraying the very fabric of our nation and countries around the world. All of these things are deeply troubling. It's a dark time we are in. Let's just name it as that. It's a dark time we're in, with so much fragility and sinfulness in our humanity coming to the surface. And so, friends, the words of Isaiah, the prophet, seem particularly right for us this year. From Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. How many of us have ever been in complete darkness? I mean total darkness, without any light. It's hard to find places of complete or deep darkness. Night is never really completely dark. At night, we have the brightness of the moon's reflected light from our sun, and we have the many, many stars, each, all of them together, helping to brighten the darkness so that we and other creatures can find our way. And that's in the wilderness. In places where humans have settled, we spread light ourselves as humans with burning torches and spotlights that then get reflected back from the atmosphere in a kind of dim glow. But there are places of deep darkness, caves where no light has shined, closets deep inside a house or in a basement. Light is not available in all places. Walking in that kind of darkness, well, it's never easy and feels on the edge of impossible. Each move can feel like a question mark, a tentative little step, and a nudge, a feeling out in front of you to sense what might be just ahead or to the side. Deep darkness. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and on those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. I was talking about this passage with Cassie, my oldest kiddo, after I preached at our first of several early Christmas Eve services. She shared that she was thinking that what she might do if she were the one who was preaching. So now I've got some competition. That's awesome. She said, "The thing is, darkness is not the opposite of light. Just like silence is not the opposite of sound, darkness is not a force in and of itself. Darkness is just the absence of light. You can't cover light with darkness. Now get that. You can't cover light with darkness. But light always breaks through and overcomes darkness. This is fantastic, and I was really grateful for her insight in this. And absolutely true. Light cuts through and invades and changes the darkness. Think about what just happened this last week in the heavens, in front of us. On the darkest night of the year, the 21st, two planets in our solar system came into close alignment in relation to our Earth so that they looked like one bright star. Now, I know it was cloudy at night over in Coeur d'Alene and much of North Idaho, but we got to see this from the South Hill in Spokane. And people have posted amazing photographs from all over the world, and one especially wonderful one from the Hubble telescope. Something new happened that night. A new light. Well, a new combination of bright reflected light shone in the earth in the early night on our Earth. Not like the sun at noon. The bright convergence of Jupiter and Saturn was a beautiful light, but it did not turn the night to day. So it was, and so it is still with the coming of the Son of God. It doesn't turn to noonday. Not right away. Many think that something like this planetary convergence is what happened 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago, when the Magi, the wise men, watched the skies and saw this bright new light. It was then that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, was born and began to shine in this world. God's light broke through the darkness. But not so brightly as the sun at noon in the height of summer, not suddenly with all the splendor and glory of God's light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, a new light, light that doesn't just dazzle with complete noonday shining, but light that breaks forth and brings enough light to the darkness so that all of us, each one of us, all people and all creatures whom God loves can see and begin to find our way. This is how Christ Jesus, God incarnate, came and was born. Lived, taught and touched, healed, died, and rose again, bringing light, shining new light in the darkness at every turn, with every person, and in every place. Jesus is born, and new light dawns. But it is still dark. Life carries on. Humanity carries on. But the light of God, the love of God, has arrived, completely embodied in this one person. This night begins the new story, the story we will walk through from Jesus' birth, through his growing up and all of his amazing adult life, through his dying and his rising again. Light has come into the world. Light has come into the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended it. And the darkness has no force to overcome it. In each place, Christ Jesus comes. Darkness fades away. Hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, when the kings of Israel and Judah began to drift further and further from God, following their own ambitions and abandoning God's ways, the people of Israel felt the threat of decline within their nation, as well as the threat of ever-growing powers of other nations and empires. Isaiah lived during a time of some wicked kings and saw coming threat of takeover by the Assyrian Empire. There were civil wars between Israel and Judah. There were times of disease and disaster. We can glimpse how uncertain their world was, maybe this year, better than we have at any time in recent history. In these first chapters of Isaiah, the prophet holds out a promise. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and the oppressors will be overcome. For a child has been born for us, we say these words and we see these words fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, God incarnate. And all the names given this child are names we see truly belong to Jesus. He comes and shines light person by person, group by group, place by place, as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For hundreds of years, the people of Israel held these hopes, even as they saw the end of their nations of Israel and Judah, were carried away from their lands to be subjects of Assyria, then Babylon, then Persia, then the Greeks, then Rome. They held hopes in times when they began to rebuild with newly granted freedom, and in times when things once again began to crumble. It is into such an expectant, yearning world that Jesus is born, born of Mary, who herself knew the deep hopes of her people when she cried out with that marvelous song of joyful expectation that God scatters the proud in their conceit, casts down the mighty from their thrones, and lifts up the lowly, fills the hungry with good things, and remembers his promise of mercy. Jesus, light of the world, grows into these words and hears them surrounding him as he grows up, and lays claim to them deep in his bones. And Jesus lives out these words. At every turn, he heals. He shows the truth. He challenges. He comforts and invites. He frees. And he lives out the word he claims early in his ministry, as he read other words from the end of Isaiah in the synagogue, that portion of Isaiah written during or after the years of exile. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, to bring sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. New light has dawned. Friends, the light of Christ is what this world needs, now as much as at any time. And Christ is still among us. This Jesus, born in Bethlehem, lived, died, rose again, went on high, and comes among us even now with that same light that breaks through the darkness. The dark in our lives, in our society and nation and world, person by person, group by group, moment by moment, place by place. So the light of God spreads across the earth. The darkness does not comprehend it, but the darkness has no power to oppose it. Let the light of Christ draw near to you. Shine in all places in your life. Illumine those dark places. Bring you sight. Give you sureness of step to find your way. Know that the light of Christ goes before you into all places, that this light is stirring and moving in every person and in yourself. That in every encounter with another person, you meet Christ and you bring Christ. Follow Christ in his story and let your own story unfold in new ways with Christ as your companion. Light has come. Darkness cannot overcome it or comprehend it. May you know Christ's light and love and peace and strength and joy this Christmas and throughout this coming year. Amen.